You know, of all the journeys that we go on in our life back to the cross, the family journey to me is by far one of the most important, because that's where we back up, we rethink, we regroup, and we realize the importance of family. You see, God is the one who established family. It wasn't established by man. The family was established by God. Now, I have written an article that may upset some folks, but that's okay. I must go biblical. I must stick with the Word of God, and with the Word of God I shall stick. Because God says, this is my family. You are the family of God. And God said, I want you to worship me, and I want to watch after you. Now, family consists of one father, one mother, and possibly children, a boy and a girl. That's the family structure. God says, this is a family. God says, I want you to go out, and I want you to join together as husband and wife, and I want you to multiply, and I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to spread not only the human existence, but the existence of me as your father as you go. In order for them to be able to do that, your children, they must be taught. How should they be taught? The parents are the ones who are to teach. The parents are the ones not just there for correction, but for teaching, for understanding, for loving, for caring. So therefore, on our journey, the family journey back to the cross, it is a reminder for you and me that there is a family structure established by God our Creator that God will not allow man to change. May think they are, but they won't. Well, what about others? I don't know, except for this. My God loves everyone. He loves the heart. I do not know what kind of evil has taken place. I do not say that all of the people who do not see the way that we see is evil. I say that evil exists, and evil stepped into the family unit, and it is evil that splits the family unit. You don't have to live very long to understand that a lie can tear a family up. You can understand that any kind of evil that takes place can tear a family all to pieces. But one thing about the true family, the key is love. The key is respect. I will love you. I will respect you as a human being. But I will respect the holy word of God. And when God says, do this, I believe we should do it. And when he says, don't do this, I believe we shouldn't do it. But you see, you and I are, as human beings, we are not the judge of whether a person's going to heaven or hell. I am obliged by God, called by God, to preach to you, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you there's no other name by which a person can be saved than that of Jesus Christ. But by looking at a person's actions, seeing what's going on, I do not know the background. I don't know the brokenness. I don't know what chips aren't chipping right. I don't know what causes the heart to harden on some things in some people and become so soft on others. I don't know these things, but I know the one who does. So therefore, you and I, as Christians, we are to take the message of truth, the message of peace in the family. There must be peace in the family before there can be joy in the heart of the family members. The joy comes direct from Almighty God that will give us that peace. Only he can bring peace that surpasses all understanding. We have marriages that are broken. We have friendships, families that are broken. Why? because of evil, because of sin. Satan loves it. God says, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want you to know how to do this. I want you to travel as a family of God. I want you to represent me. Do you understand the awesome responsibility we have? As a Christian, we have an awesome responsibility to represent Christ. And what we need to ask ourselves is, do I represent Jesus, or am I representing myself, my own views, my own ideas? The only hope I have of getting through this life is the hope of love of Jesus Christ. In that love, I guarantee you there is forgiveness, there is peace, there is understanding. But God says, this is the way it is. I'm going to give you a gift. This is a gift from God for the journey of family. And the first gift is, I'm going to give you parents. I'm going to give you a mother, and I'm going to give you a father. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents. Now listen to me. Listen to the scripture. Look at it. Obey your parents in the Lord. Are you hearing me? When the parents tell you, and you will know whether it's of God or not, when the parents are trying to direct you in the Lord, you are to pay attention to the parents and you are to obey them in the Lord. Now, I know that we live in a generation, and there have always been generations, where parents lead children away from Christ. Now, that child does not, according to Scripture, have to listen to a parent when that's going on. Are you hearing me? Obey your parents in the Lord. If it's of God, you obey your parents and you will know the difference. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Did you remember that? Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that gives a promise. Now listen to what the promise is. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. A lot of people live long life and they don't enjoy it. A lot of people live short lives and they don't enjoy it. You and I need to pay attention to how to enjoy life. Through the pain, how do you enjoy life? I look to Jesus. Through the brokenness of relationships, how do you enjoy life? I look to Jesus. I look to the family of God. You see, when I leave here, my biological family is going to be already gone or going to be left here. I will be joining my family of God. That's all of us families, the Christian families, united together. Big family. I smile. Well, that means a great big fellowship with a whole lot of heavenly food and God blessing us and God saying, welcome home, hugging one another, greeting one another, smiling at each other. And you and I are going to look at each other and say, if I'd known it was going to be this good, I wouldn't have worried about leaving earth to begin with. But you see, Jesus says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what I have waiting for you when you cross over. Oh, it's going to be good. You see, God says, you're my family. And when you're a part of my family, I'm going to take care of you. It's up to the parents to take care of their children. You raise them in the way that they should go. And as they grow older, they will not depart from it. Now, they're going to have, a lot of times, bad cases of the dumbs, the stupids. The kids are going to do some dumb things. Well, guess where they saw it being done? Do you really, are you trying to convince your children that you were never that way? I'd have never done anything like that. Well, don't let the aunts and uncles get around, because they will pull you out in the open in a heartbeat. Obey your mother and your father. Give them honor, because God has established them as the leaders of the family. You listen to them, you pay attention to them, so that your life may be long on earth. Why do I want it longer than it is? Why do I want it? I've sown a lot of bad crops in my life. Younger days, older days and all. I've sown bad crops. Jesus gives me every day a new opportunity to sow a good one. The longer time that he gives me here, the more good crops I am privileged to get to sow if I will sow them. Paying attention to what I didn't pay attention to before. Love. Love people that seem unlovable. Do you know some of us in here are just not that lovable? But God loves us. So therefore, we love one another. That's okay, Brother Randy. God loves us just like we are. And God says, you're my family. It is very important to be counted as family. But it's most important to be counted as God's family. I'm a part of the family of God. I praise God for that. Not just in heaven will I be, but I am already right here. And my fellow Christians, the believers in Jesus Christ, then become a part of my family. Then on this journey, God gives us the gift of children. Now listen to me. Psalm 127 verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. Clean up your act, parents. Children are a gift from the Lord, not a burden. Oh, over the years, how many times I've thought, well, I can't wait till they get 18. They're out that door. They're on their own. Man, listen to some of those parents, I'd want to leave at 15 or earlier. Family is family. I've got a roof or so over our head. My kids are welcome in that house anytime. They'll always have a home as long as their mother and father is alive. Because we love, we care. Get out on your own. Are you on your own? Or do you depend on Christ? Do you not have a Father in heaven who you're always calling on? Always asking for help? Tell me one time he didn't show up. And God says that's the way you're to act. You're to treat your children as a gift from God, not as a burden. Children are not a burden. They're gifts. They're little hard-headed gifts, but they're gifts. Blessings. Those blessings pay off over the years. I've watched a lot of family members, kids, take care of parents that were mean parents. And I knew them. I knew them all growing up. And those parents were mean. And yet watching children who are born again, children of God, and how lovingly they take care of the very parents that were so mean to them. Many had received beatings, had scars still on their body from the beatings from a father they're helping as he's got cancer. Think of that. What causes that to take place? It's the love of God. It's the peace that God will give the family unit. I'm a part of the family of God, therefore I will love. My responsibility is to take care of, was to take care of my mother. My dad died when I was 6 years old, so I didn't know him, but was to take care of her. At 105, I was responsible for taking care of her. I didn't pay any attention to whether anybody else did anything for her. That wasn't my job. My job, my calling, was to take care and do what God called me to do. That's your calling, parent. That's your calling for your children. No one can tell you how to raise your family except for God. God gave you that family. God has blessed you with the gifts. God has given you a child that you are to love. They're a gift from God. God has only lent you that child for a period of time. He belongs to God. I belong to God. I'm going home to God. He's my Father in heaven. My Savior is Jesus Christ, and I'm happy to be a part of the family of God. Amen. What a blessing. And God says, as you go, count your children as gifts, and God will give you the gift of wisdom. Haven't you had those problems in family that come up and the questions are asked and you're sitting there, standing there, mom and dad, you got your mouth wide open because you don't have an answer. I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know what. I don't know when. And we're standing there waiting for an answer. I guarantee you that answer will come. The answer is already there. And God says, I'll give you the wisdom to pay attention to it. Proverbs 24:3. It takes wisdom to have a good family. And it takes understanding to make it strong. Wisdom. Here's your wise move. I don't care how many children you have. None of them are going to think alike. They're all going to have their independent ideas. They're all going to think one way about this and another way about that. Are they not still your family? God said, I'm making you individuals for a purpose. You're going to go out in the world full of other individuals. I'm going to make your personality available and appealing to a certain other personality. So I want you to take the message, the good news. That's our job. That's the family job. And God says, I'll give you wisdom to do it. I'll give you the courage and the strength to be able to stand there. And I want you to do it. And I want you to take that wisdom. Listen to me as I speak to you. The reason we're sad that we don't have an answer for a lot of things that God has called us to do is because we're not listening to Him tell us how to handle the situation. We're going to fix it ourselves. I got to get this fixed before God sees the mess I've made. It don't work that way. God knows the mess you made. Here's your key. God knew you was going to make the mess before you made it. And God also knew wisdom was going to hit you all of a sudden. You know, oh, why didn't I think of that before? I'm going to go to the river and pray. I'm going to pray by the tree. I'm going to get on my knees right here and right now. That's what God calls a family. And He says, as you go and as you go on this journey, I want you to know I'm going to give you the gift to love. A gift to love. Did you know that love is a learned attribute? You got to learn love. Yeah. Listen, I'm not that lovable. Well, I know you all think I am, but I'm not that lovable. Every one of us will have problems in our personalities. Sometimes we're more lovable than others. Did you know God loves me all the time? Amen. Yes. He's the only one that loves me all the time, but He loves me all the time because God is love. He's showing us through His love how you and I are to act towards each other. How do you put a family together? With love. How do you hold a family together? With love. Love is tough. That means you got to love me when I'm right and love me when I'm wrong. God does. God doesn't look at me and say, okay, Larry, you're not my child anymore because you really did this. You really messed up this bad. God understands me. And God says, I love you. 1 John 4:7. What does He tell us to do? Practice loving each other. For love comes from God. You got to practice. You got to show love. No, it's not in a box of chocolate candy with a heart. That's not love. That's good, but that's not love. What is love? Love goes far beyond life. The love that God has placed in your heart goes far beyond hurt. It goes far beyond any wrong that has ever been done to you. Love goes to the very depth of who you truly are. And love is what connects you to God your Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Love is what puts you together. Love is what holds you together. That love that God has given to you is so powerful that nobody can tear it apart. Nobody can take the love of God from your heart. No one can separate you from His love. You want to see God angry? Mess with one of His children. God says, I love you, and I want you to take this love as a part of the family unit that I'm giving you. So He gives us the ability to love. The only one of all creation that's created that has the gift to love God back and express that love back to God. A dog's going to keep barking. The dog can't express it, can't give love back, can accept love and appreciate love and wait for the treat. God looks to you and looks to me and He said, I'm giving you something that's permanent. I'm giving you my love, and my love is going to saturate you. My love is going to build and grow inside of you. And my love is going to be the glue that holds you together. When it seems like life is falling apart, when you see no hope, look to my love. When you don't have an answer, listen for my love story, because I'm going to tell you a story of your life, the story you need to hear. It's a relationship with a God that loves you. And He said, it will be my spirit that will enter you. My spirit that will control you. My spirit that will deliver you. That's my love. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And it'll be my love that'll give you direction. That next step, Deuteronomy 6:7. Listen to what God's children were told to do in the law. It gets better because you and I don't live in the law anymore. You and I live in the day of grace. We live in the day of the Lord. We live in the day of the Messiah. We are living in the church age. We're living in an age that is by all ages the most blessed. God said so. Said that day's coming. The world couldn't understand it until they met the Son of God. And the Son of God came into your heart because you said, I believe. And the Son of God says, remember what I've taught you. It was taught in the Old Testament period. Listen, Deuteronomy 6:7. You must teach these commandments to your children and talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. Means you're going to talk about them all the time. Jesus comes and He says, I've come to fulfill the law. In me, the law of Moses, the word of the prophets are being fulfilled. I am here. Therefore, the ultimate commandment I give you is this. Love one another as I have loved you. On that commandment, your whole family is built. Your whole life is built. All your relationships are built. Love. In that love, there can be no separation. You can't separate me from the love of my Father. Pain can't. Nothing can separate me from the love of my Father. He got me. And he ain't turning me loose. I'm his. That's the journey. Getting back to the cross to remember that's the family unit. You love through all of it. I don't have the answers for you folks. I don't know why so many things are the way that they are. But I know who does. And I know this. I'm commanded by God that I'm going to love everybody. You see, I don't know what got them in the shape they're in. I don't know what direction in life went wrong that put them in that direction. But I do know this. I was never appointed to judge whether they're going to heaven or hell. I was appointed to give them the voice from Jesus, and that voice must be full of love. The rest of it is up between them and God. Therefore, you love. You bring peace when you can bring peace. You give a hug when you can give a hug. Don't you worry about what they have or what people say about them. Don't you ever hesitate just because they live a different lifestyle than you, that when you meet them in public, don't you dare turn your back on them, Christian. You smile, you hug, you love, and you tell them Jesus loves you. See, Jesus loves me just like I am. I didn't have to do a thing. I didn't have to change a thing for me, for Jesus to love me. He comes and he said, Larry, I love you. And I said, Lord, I believe you. I believe you are who you say. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Larry, I love you. You see, what he told me never changed. He loved me when I was wrong, and he loved me when I was right. Until God said, I just love you. So through this love and through this power, I'll give your family the hope. And it's up to you to give them the discipline. You bring them to church. Oh, you know, I hate to make my child do something they don't want to do. What do you think the problem is right now? A child doesn't know what they want to do. Gosh, folks, I'm still working on it. Haven't you, as an adult, figured out yet that you don't always know what you want to do? You want somebody to tell you. Brother Randy, go ahead and tell me what you think I'll do here. Don't bring me in that mess, Larry. Do you know why? I know the one who has the answer. He knows the one who has the answer. And he says, you go to the right one. Listen to Proverbs 19, verse 18. God's gift of discipline. Correct your children. That does not mean you're to beat your children. I don't know what translation some of these people are reading. I gotta beat him. Yeah, you try that in this day and age and see what happens. No, you don't. How about a little love? How about a little sternness? How about looking at him and saying, no, honey, I love you, but I'll pull every hair in you. You know, that love that supersedes all else. Don't do that. Correct your children while there's still hope. That means tell them the right thing. Your responsibility is to show them the right way. Do not let them destroy themselves. I don't have a right to let a child destroy themselves. But I have every right and every gift to make sure when a child's around me, they enjoy themselves. Whether it's cone of ice or a hot dog, I'm going to see those eyes glisten. I want to see the smile on their face. Because you see, the smile of that child represents the love of a God. And that God's love supersedes all understanding. And he says to you and me, I just love you. And I give you the ability to love me back. Do you? Do you love the Lord back? Trust him. He's the only hope that we do have. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your truth. Help us, Father, as each of us learn more about your word, that we will take that word full of love, full of hope, full of your generous truth, and it will give it to a lost and dying world. Give us direction now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.